And time now for Stroman on Sports, joined on the phone by Dr. Debbie Stroman, the host of If You Only Knew, right here on 97.9 The Hill, talking about plans for the fall semester in terms of sports, football in particular, of course, but a lot of fall sports coming up, assuming COVID-19 allows them to happen, and that's still very much up in the air. Debbie, thank you so much for being with us today. What are your thoughts?
Thank you, Aaron. There is definitely a lot of unknowns, a lot of question marks, a lot of confusion. And I think that just reflects the many, many voices that are speaking in terms of what we should do with regular students, traditional students attending college, and then what to do with the student athletes. And so just like UNC experiencing, you know, going down this one path with a roadmap, of course, there's another roadmap for athletics. And there are a lot of voices that make the difference. It's Board of Governors, it's Board of Trustees. And then on the other side, you've got the NCAA, you've got the Atlantic Coast Conference. So a lot of question marks.
What is the, we've been talking about this in the context of academics at UNC. As you mentioned, they've got the roadmap for UNC, which had the off-ramps, and earlier this week they took one. What are the off-ramps for athletics, for football, and what should they be?
Well, that saying, where you stand depends on where you sit, that's definitely appropriate here, because if you consider the fact that the NCAA is the governing body for Division I, Division II, Division III, there is another option. You can do the NAIA, but for most schools, most colleges, they choose the NCAA, and they haven't really said much. In fact, there's been noise out there that Mark Emmert, the president, needs to resign, because there's nothing clear. Now, to Mark Emmert's defense, he feels that it's up to the member institutions. That is what defines the NCAA. And so that means we're talking about those universities and colleges who've decided to join a conference. And so then it goes to the ACC. Well, the ACC and the SEC, Southeastern Conference, they're different from the rest of the country. Sports have been built, have been become the social activity next to church. And so you don't want to give up your Saturday afternoons because so much in towns all across the South, it's all about football and high school in many places. And so there's one other conference. I want to say it's in the Southwest. But there's three major conferences that have not made a decision in terms of stopping college football this fall. And so the main ones are the big Power Five, which is ACC and SEC. And so we sit here waiting and waiting, even though the obvious control is with the chancellor and the president in the local schools. And of course, they, of course, are attached to their board of trustees and board of advisors or board of governors. But we've got a battle here. You know, as of right now, the schools are thinking that they're going to play football. But most people who are watching this all play out saying this just makes zero sense.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, as you mentioned, as you were talking about the position Mark Emmert has taken as the person who's sort of nominally in charge of the organization that kind of governs all of the others, doing as much as possible to not be the decider and to delegate the decisions out to all of these conference presidents and university presidents and chancellors and everyone making different decisions and competing against each other and being hesitant and wondering what everyone else was going to do. Sort of the thing that sounded really, really familiar in terms of how the person in charge of the overarching organization seems to be responding to COVID-19. Like, this seems to be a general thing.
Well, you know, what do they say? Managers work in the system, leaders work on the system. And this is an opportunity for people to see what does leadership look like. Leadership is really, really easy when you've got a great, great talented team, or, and we say in sports, five-star athletes. You know, people can rise to the occasion, and this is their opportunity to show, you know, how they can perform, how they deserve to be at these positions. And then the crisis comes. And now what does it look like? Mm. And there are many people who are definitely disappointed in what's happened here and in other schools around the country. And then, of course, there are those people who feel it's just a no-win situation for presidents, for chancellors. What can you do with a virus that nobody is familiar with?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got medical experts who are actually, one group will say one thing and another group says another thing. I mean, we look at what happened here with our health department versus the experts that our senior leadership is using at UNC. And so just a lot of confusion. I think many people would just say, shut it all down. Let's go ahead and do the mask, more requirements around masks. Let's just shut everything down for a certain time period and see where we are, as opposed to trying to make it work. The one thing that I can keep thinking about is we have a so-called democracy. And during times like this, this is when our federal government and our state government is supposed to take care of people. And so we know it's difficult for small businesses. We know it's difficult for companies. But isn't this when the government is supposed to be very, very willing to support them? And that's what I'm not seeing. In fact, it's very, very challenging for small businesses to exist and to go through the red tape or not even being able to receive the monies to support them during these times.
And the uncertainty only makes it worse. I was talking with Art Chansky here at the station earlier today, and he brought up just in our conversation a really trenchant point, which I think is going to be more of an issue as we start getting into September, or potentially an issue, which is we're all thinking right now about, oh, is the season going to happen? Are we going to have games? Are we going to get to September 12th and be able to see this UNC Syracuse game in Keenan Stadium? And then we'll worry about the rest of the season from there. But we also have to think about, like, what happens if we get to that point and the season does start and we get three games in and, oh, now this team or that college is having an outbreak and this team needs to put their games on pause and take the next 2 weeks off. Like, how much disruption is that going to be? We're already kind of seeing that with Major League Baseball, with certain teams only being able to play a handful of games. There's certainly a chance that could happen with college football, too.
And, of course, this affects the economy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about the insurance companies who are thinking, if the game stops or the season is halted or only certain teams can play, then who pays that bill? Because there's a lot of handshaking, a lot of contracts that most fans don't think about, and maybe they shouldn't have to think about. But in terms of facilities and staffing and protection and liability and all those things, which is usually regulated and managed and governed by a contract with someone. And really, when you think about it in terms of Power Five football, we know, I mean, unless you're living in a cave, we know this has a great deal to do with making money, because you need money to pay bills. And football and men's basketball pay those bills. Now, some would argue that, in fact, I saw it on social media, but there was I guess you could say it was funny. During a tough time, sometimes you have to.
That is the most 2020 thing. Like, I guess you could say it was funny. Like, that just sums everything up. Sorry.
Because everything is just so serious right now. I didn't have to giggle, but somebody said if the football programs and universities saying that they're going to lose so much, like, 100,000, 300, excuse me, 100 million, $300 million if they don't play football. And then someone said, well, quite possibly what we have going on is football and then academics is actually the side hustle. You know, if there's that much money that's going to be lost, clearly then we know who's driving the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about athletics. So we have to pay attention to this. I know, you know, you take an 18, 20-year-old, of course they want to play their sport. They've been training, you know, for so long. Of course they want to play. But again, the adults in the room have to say, we're talking about your health and safety around something that we don't know the long-term effects.
Speaking again with Dr. Debbie Stroman, and I got to jump in and mention, while we were having this conversation just a couple of minutes ago, another Alert Carolina message just went out about another cluster that just got identified on campus, this one at Carmichael Residence Hall. So that's now seven clusters on campus, and the semester started less than 2 weeks ago. They've already sent everyone home. They're still trying to send as many people home as possible, and they're still in the process of reporting clusters. So we're talking about this in the context of football, and we got to start wrapping up this conversation. But I want to turn it back to you, because you are always in charge of and organizing so many things that are happening on campus and off campus and involving students all the time. How are you approaching all of those conferences and events and opportunities for students as we get into the fall and into the school year? Because it's very much the same thing. Like, how do we navigate through a very uncertain next few months?
Well, I appreciate your asking that, because it does affect me quite a bit. I'm the faculty advisor for the Carolina Sport Business Club, which is one of the most popular student groups on campus. And it's designed to help students through connections and collaborations to consider jobs, careers in the sport industry. And meeting with this year's leadership team, you know, we talked about what should we do this year. And I definitely steered the ship to virtual meetings, speakers, virtual. Everything is virtual. And we have to continue to bond and show other students that you can participate in the club, but it will be virtually. And of course, some of the students are like, well, we want to do our annual trip to the Hurricanes and get a tour and do the Panthers. And I was like, let's understand. These folks are thinking about their jobs, their operations, and they're not going to have the time to give a group of students a tour to allocate, staff time to this. It's not going to happen. We have to think about virtual. And so for my basketball analytics summit, which will be April 16th, I made the decision 2 weeks ago. We're going to have more unknowns in the spring. And so it's got to be virtual. And so I think with that mindset, it makes it very clear on your strategy and your tactics if you already make the decision and you build towards that. So the students are still fired up. It's going to be a great year, but we're going to serve the campus. We're going to serve all the Tar Heels in terms of virtual offerings.
Well, listen to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill weekends. Get the full archive on our website, chapelboro.com. Dr. Debbie Stroman, thank you so much, as always.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.